All right, let's go. It's stretch time, ladies and gentlemen, on July the 3rd. Everybody knows what this Friday represents, the day before our nation's birthday. What a time, too, because it so mirrors 8 years ago when NASB was brought into this world. And look, I don't know anybody on this call that hasn't already. If not, trust me, there's some foreshadowing here. There's a little bit of prophecy in this statement that NASB is going to leave you so much better than she found you. Just think back to where you were financially. Everybody, right now, think back to where you were opportunistically. You know, it's one thing to be in a bad place financially, monetarily. It's another place to know you're behind the eight ball. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place in the opportunity that you're in. Man, look, I've been in jobs where not only did I not make anything, there was no way for me to make anything. There was no ceiling. There was no way out. Here's the great thing about NASB. Wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, we like to be able to put the onus. We like to be able to put the blame on you. In other words, we're going to arm you. We're going to prepare you. We're going to give you everything you need to be as successful as you want. And as we talk today about something that I am really challenging you guys to do, I hope you take it seriously. You know, I was reading early this morning on our nation and on the Declaration of Independence. You do know what happened back in 1776, don't you? There was a council of about five men. I think John Adams was amongst them, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, I believe, in that day. And they were charged on writing down, look, this is so powerful, writing down a prophetic statement, almost something that the English wouldn't necessarily adhere to or agree to or did not want them to secede from that union that England had. But they wrote down, listen, a declaration, listen to this, of their independence. And so as I've talked to so many, I hope you have done that. I hope you have. Look, there came a time in my life when I declared to poverty, when I declared to drive an old beat-up cars, when I declared to shop at garage sales, there was a time when I wrote it down. I'm never going to be broke again. There's no nobility in being broke. There's no nobility in poverty. And I'll never forget writing it down on a piece of paper, saying, look, I've been there. I've done that. My children won't taste that. My children's children won't taste that. And not because of some lottery, not because of my last name, not because of anything other than the choices that I make. And as we have encouraged you, there is a challenge that I am just daring you to take. And you may say, well, Craig, what's the power in writing it down? Why don't you ask the colonists? Why don't you ask Ben Franklin one day? Ask Thomas Jefferson, why did you write it down? Because they're so powerful about signing a piece of paper. That's what they did. They signed this declaration of independence. And what I'm asking you to do on this call is over the weekend. Now, like, I'm not going to stay on you about it. I stopped trying to take people where they don't want to go a long time ago. There's a lot of hair that I could have on my head if I just let mediocrity be mediocrity, if I let the average be average instead of trying to pull them to a place of greatness that I was at. And so now I'm at a position to only run with the hungry. I don't ask you to get on the dance floor with me. I'm just going to get out here and boogie myself. My point is I have sent this. Every partner, every coach, every RVP, potential junior partner has sent you this $60,000 challenge. And here's what it is, $10,000 a month for the next 6 months. Now, look, I get it. A lot of people want to talk about independence. A lot of people want to talk about financial freedom. A lot of people want to talk about living nicer and driving nicer, and you want to sit back and poke fun and be cynical at the ones that have paid the price, that have signed the declaration. But I'm going to tell you something. It's my opinion. It starts when you make up your mind, so much so to the fact that you'll write it down. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is for the next 26 weeks, that's 6 months, right, $2,400 a week, listen, for 26 weeks. I want you to sign it. I want you to put your initials on the document. Blair did such a marvelous job last week, as did the Golden Boy helping us. And here's why I do this, guys. There are so many people experiencing this financial freedom at NASB. And we don't say this to brag. Look, I say this for you to see what one man can do, another man can do. What one woman can do, another woman can do. This one's in his 30s. This one's in his 20s. This one's in his 40s. But they're all experiencing great success. The great Ashley Kaleem made $90,000 last month. 90 grand. Just moved into a multi-million dollar home on the coast there in Wilmington. This girl worked at a Gold's Gym for years. But she came in. Listen, she had this independent mindset that said, look, I'm going to do what I've got to do. Follow the people I've got to follow to get to where I want to go. I just want you to hear from some of my brothers this morning as to what they've made and what they're doing and what they're experiencing, because our coaching today is going to lead you to where these guys are at. Let's just start at the top. Evan, good morning, star six. How much did you earn in the month of June 2020, sir?
Morning, Craig. I made $92,000.
I think I've got the Reaper, Ryan Wimmer, on the line. Ryan, you've only been here, I think, 18 months. You and Alicia, last month, how much did you earn, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, Craig. Last month, we made $51,000.
$51,000 in June. I think I've got the great Brian Celestine, Leonidas, totally deserving. Star 6, Bri, what did the captain of 300 earn last month?
All right, we did $43,818.
Lord have mercy, 43K. How about Nicholas Goychai? Here Brian is, married, family. Nick, you're single. You're up in COVID country, Michigan. What did you earn last month in June, Nick?
June was right at $40,000.
40K for Nicholas Goychai. Blair Ohlendorf, you're in Philly. You guys have had some challenges there. But in the midst of it, last month, Blair, how much did you and Christy earn?
$33,000.
Jalen Davis, you were just at my house a few weeks ago, 20-some-odd years old, 25, 26, clean that up. Jalen, how much did you earn last month in June?
Last month I made close to $31,851.
That's my boy. I love it that you know it out of the penny. How about Danny Henderson, former king in the North, living in Cincinnati, great dreams and aspirations. He's got a little baby to fight for now. Mr. Henderson, last month, how much did you earn? It's $26,000 for Dan Henderson. Thank you, Evan. Let's go to Mike Russo. Michael, good morning. Star 6, Mike. How much did you earn? And Mike, you've only been here, what, less than 6 months? Russo, I mean, you're not an oldie goldie by any stretch of the imagination. What did you earn last month, sir?
Craig, good morning. 23.4.
Guys, why am I doing this? Number one, I knew what these guys had made. Perhaps we muted Dan. That could be our fault. But Dan made 26. Why do I say this? Because you've just got a host of individuals from Texas to Ohio to Michigan to North Carolina, all around the United States, listen, that are following a system, and that system is creating financial independence. So what I want to do today, because I don't know about you, man, but I hear stuff like that, it fires me up. I mean, it gets me so excited to hear just the guys, let's just be honest, this is coming off of COVID. This is in the middle of summer, coming off a pandemic, and here's what these folks are doing. So watch. What is it that they're doing that some of us potentially aren't? That's what I want to focus on in our time remaining today. And I've got one of the best in the nation that's going to come alongside me and help me. Alex King Kong Cromie, Star 6. King Kong, what did you earn last month? Just curious.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me here. I made a little over 28 grand.
Alex, I'm going to give you some advice, son. And you listen to Uncle Craig here, because I'm probably old enough to be your dad. Never hire a fat trainer. Don't do it. Don't hire some fat ass trainer. That their body is a billboard of what it is they're coaching you to become. Stop. Look, if you're going to train somebody, how much easier it is for Brian Celestine to lead Team 300 when he's making 44 grand in a month? Do you know how easy it is to follow Evan Proach? 92,000. Nick Goychai making 40 grand in a month? I want what that guy's got. That makes me listen more intently. That makes me apply with a greater degree of just tenacity, because guess what? I can see it. They are living the dream, not just telling me about the dream. But here's what I've learned, Alex. This business is no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of genders. It's no respecter of races. It is, however, a respecter of technique. And if you folks will lean in and listen this morning, we're going to show you really four things that without these four things, no sale is made. And there are times, Alex, I've learned, we think we're establishing these four things and we're not. We're missing out on them. And so I'd like to start right here. What is this acronym VOLT? How has it helped you in your career here? You're the reigning, defending. What did you win, Alex? What title did you win? What award last year?
Last year, I won the Sales Manager of the Year, and the year before that was the Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Who knows what this year will be. Great to have you this morning, friend. Let's talk about VOLT and how it has helped your career.
Yeah, so VOLT, to me, and Jordan laughs at me, you know, when he gives me opportunities to speak, because somehow, some way, I always end up talking about VOLT. When I'm training new agents, just like I have been, you know, the past couple weeks, I realize I'm talking about VOLT probably just as much as I'm talking about the 10 steps. If I'm not talking about the presentation, I'm talking about VOLT. And for me, it's everything. The reason it's everything, value, urgency, likability, and trust, is because I was not a sales pro when I first came into the business here, Craig. A lot of people think I've just always been a killer salesman, and that's just not the case. You know, I came through the gates as an order taker. But here with NASB, I was given the tools to learn how to sell, and VOLT was probably the most influential in me, value, urgency, likability, and trust. Jordan came up with that, got to give him credit, and it's such a powerful tool. It can be used in so many ways, but to me, it really taught me how to sell. It taught me that if I could build likability, you know, with step one, if I could build trust through step two, if I could build value through step three, and then if I could find some urgency in step five and then pin it all together in step seven, I was going to get a deal. And that's what I needed to know as a new salesperson. And Craig, like you asked me, why is it such a big deal? Because to me, that's literally what has taught me how to sell.
Well, I love the fact that you didn't come out of a sales, marketing career. And did you hear what he said, folks? He said he was an order taker before he learned how to use this value, urgency, likability, and trust. So let's jump in this morning. Because, guys, as we just did that financial independence rundown of what guys and gals have made, oftentimes I think we do things right and we don't even know what we've done. But I really want us to lean in and listen to this, because especially those of you that are missing your financial goals, if you miss these four keys, you're going to miss sales. So let's talk about value. Let's hop right in. What role does that play, and how does it sound specifically when you create and build that in this presentation?
Right. So when I think of value, I think of the common phrase that we say, people buy when value exceeds price. You know, a lot of new agents lean on price. We all know, though, that experienced agents sell on value. That's where the flip is in your sales mentality. When you can switch from price to value and you understand that when value exceeds price, people buy, you're no longer concerned about the premium as much as you were at the very beginning. Now, what is value? Value, kind of to me, it can be a lot of things, but the best way I define it is it's really strong credibility with competent information. I got to know what I'm saying. I got to say it correctly and got to come from a place of perceived value. When these people feel that I'm bringing them value throughout the presentation and then into the numbers later on, they're not going to want to it's not going to be too expensive, right? So value, when it's too expensive, when you get shut down at step eight and you say, Miss Johnson, which option works best for you? And she kind of sits back and laughs and goes, none of them. And you're thinking, crap, right? What happened? Well, the price is too high. Or is it really just the value is too low? And so if you get the value built up in your presentation, you're not going to have to worry about, like I'm saying here, the price being too high, Craig.
Say that one more time. I want to please everybody lean in and listen to this brother, because he's as strong a teacher as I've ever heard, especially as young as he is in the business. You said the price oftentimes isn't too high. It's that the value that we have shown is too low?
Correct. That's why when you follow somebody like a Nick Goichai, when they get to the close, the client always picks one, right? Why? Because the value is there. He's not worried about the price being too high because he knows he's pumped that deal, that product, that carrier, and himself with enough value that the client's going to pick an option. So if you're getting pricing objections left and right, I can tell you right now you've got a problem building value. And so some of the ways that I'll build value in my presentation is, well, one of the easiest ways is with the living benefits, guys. That's what step three is all about. It's about qualifying the client as well as building value. So we use the prescription, the dental, the vision, the hearing, not because we're just out there to do it. We don't get paid to do that, guys. There's a specific reason. Like, I used to think, Craig, before I really understood this, I was like, man, these living benefits are dumb. Like, why am I doing this? You know, I'm here to talk about insurance. But I didn't understand that without additional value, not many people want to talk about insurance. And so step three is one of the easiest ways for you to really amp up the value. If you can find a way to make the dental, make the vision, make the hearing apply to the client either now or in the future when, hey, maybe Medicare, Medicaid changes, Ms. Johnson. I know you got dental now. You're good to go, but hey, you're going to have an ace in the pocket, all right? Don't forget about this in the kitchen drawer if you ever get a dental bill. Okay, so I'm making them feel like it's going to help them in the future. That's what I want. Same thing with vision. Oh, Ms. Johnson, you get vision with your work? Man, that's fantastic. I wish they gave that to everybody. I wish they gave it to me, Ms. Johnson. But when you do retire, quit, or get fired, I want you to know that you've got an ace in the pocket, all right? You've got vision discounts for the rest of your life, and if you need help, you call me. So I'm helping her in the future when it may not help now. Same thing with the hearing. So step three is one of the easiest ways to build value. But then, guys, step seven, right? It's literally in the name of the step. And this is the step that most new agents skip or do not do correctly. And so the step seven is summarize value and riders. This is where you're going over all of the hot points of your sale. Ms. Johnson, this is Mutual of Omaha. They're A-plus rated. That's a financial rating. It can't get any better than that. They're also state regulated. That means there's eyes, ears, regulations on this policy that keep it as safe, stable, and secure as could possibly be. They're going to give you a terminal illness rider, Ms. Johnson. I'm going to break that down. They're going to give you a nursing home rider, Ms. Johnson. I'm going to break that down. And you're even going to qualify for the double accidental. That's the third leading cause of death, Ms. Johnson. And they're going to pay your beneficiary double if it happens to you. And so if you can't do your step seven like that, pumping up value, I mean, Craig, what would you have to say to somebody that's not really hitting step seven where the value is in the title like they should be?
Look, I love hard work. I've always been a hard worker. It's all I've ever known. I've tried to, like the great Charles Barkley once expressed, no one's going to outwork me. I'm not saying I'm a harder worker, but I want to be as hard a worker as anybody. But what we're learning today through the great King Kong, Alex Cromie, is that if you can merge not just the sweat equity giving the presentations, but having a razor sharp axe with which to cut through the distractions and the objections, oh my God, now you can do something that, like we've just heard from Mike Russo, from Dan Henderson, everybody sits back and says, boy, I'd love to make that money. I'm telling you, these are the things they're implementing to get to where they are. I'm loving it. Let's get into the you, because the value's huge, but urgency. This is a one call close. It's so funny, Alex. How many times you hire a new agent and they talk about, yeah, you know, next week I'm set up for a killer week. You know, Ms. Johnson said just after the fourth, she's going to be ready to buy. They're missing the power of urgency, aren't they, King Kong?
Yeah, that happens all the time. And I hate to hear it too, because well, it happened to me. I'd always count my chickens before they hatch. And then that week comes around and you get the call from your agent where that appointment bailed on them. And it sucks, but you saw it coming. The urgency is a huge deal, guys. If you're getting people telling you that they want to think about it, you've got a problem with urgency. If they need to check with their kids, you've got a problem with urgency. If this person wants to wait until next year, if they want to wait until October when their term runs out to actually get the whole life, you're missing urgency. Urgency is to get the client to buy now. Because, Craig, I want to point out something you said. This is a first call close. I don't know the percentage, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's over 90% of our deals are closed the first time contact is made, especially for somebody like me who's a door knocker. I ain't coming back because I know my chances have fallen off, you know, big time. So how do we build up urgency? Urgency is something that you want to pepper in throughout your entire presentation. So something that I do that may be a little bit more aggressive here at the very beginning of the presentation, after I've done step one and I'm about to go into step two, I always kind of reel them in after the conversation from step one, and I get the lead card back out. I put it in their face, and I say, well, actually, I'll give you two here. The less aggressive version is I'll say, Miss Johnson, did you send this in for the life insurance, the benefits, or both? And then if they say the life insurance, they're building up a little bit of urgency. But now I wanted to pump that up. I wanted to make that more aggressive. Now what I'll say, especially if it's a memorial lead is, but now I don't really care if it's a dental either, I'll say, Miss Johnson, and I'll show them the card, you sent this in for life insurance. Why is that important to you right now? I got to say right now at the end. Miss Johnson, you sent this in for life insurance. Why is that important to you right now? And so what I'm doing is here, I'm getting her to think about, dang, okay, why is that important to me right now? What would happen in my immediate life if something were to happen? So that's in the beginning, Craig. What do you think about that little show there in the front to kind of build up a little bit of a direction?
What I love, and man, forgive me, Alex, I mean, here, old dog here, learning new tricks. And let me just say, if you're listening in and you're not open to trying some new things, especially when these guys are out earning you, oh my gosh, why not? Look, I won't be in the field today, but if I was, so help me God, I would try that. I love how you told them what they filled it out for. You didn't ask them. You didn't have a questioning presence or tone when that statement was made. It was borderline authoritative. It was borderline a directive. Miss Johnson, you filled this out for life insurance and just went into who did you have in mind when you filled the card out, or did you have an amount that you were looking to shop for? I just love the way, Alex, that you almost gave a directive there. I don't think a lot of our listening audience potentially is doing that. Great information. Anything else you want to hit on urgency, brother, before we get into the likability and the trust?
For sure. Urgency, again, we're going to pepper it throughout the presentation. When I say dental, I say, Ms. Johnson, who helps you with dental and what are your dental needs right now? I get to vision. Ms. Johnson, who helps you with vision and what are your vision needs right now? And so I'm throwing in that right now as much as I can. But really, guys, if you're not doing step six in and up, you're missing out on a lot of urgency. Lean on your coaches who know this verbiage to help throw it in there. Something that I do on in and ups to build the urgency in the client's mind is I'll say, Craig, go ahead and get their driver's license. Show them three options. See which one works best for you. Go ahead and fill out the e-application to see if they can get them approved, and I'll be waiting on the other end. Click. And so now we've got somebody thinking somebody is waiting on them, helping to build up the urgency for your agent. And then urgency, guys, can be easily done towards the end if you need to build high value and use the takeaway close. But try to use small wins throughout your presentation in order to build your urgency up to the max.
Dude, I love it. I mean, just straight fire. My inbox is just heating up this morning. As both coaches and managers alike are listening to one of NESB's best, our reigning sales manager of the year. This next point, when we talk likability, you know, it kind of reminds me of friends of ours. We've all had them. They've been out at the bar. They thought old girl was into them. They thought old girl was digging them, right? And it comes down to the end of the night, and they ask for a good night kiss, and they wind up getting slapped in the face. They weren't creating what they thought they were creating. And so I think there's some keys, there's some codes, so to speak, to creating and building this likability factor. King Kong broached that with us, opened that can and poured on us.
Right. So likability is step one, connect. Okay. This is where you get somebody to like you, right? This is where we usually talk about four: family, occupation, recreation, travel, then you transition. Okay. I walk into the house in order to get somebody to like me, immediately complimenting. And I want to do my best to give a sincere compliment. If there's a hole in the roof, don't tell her she's got a great-looking ceiling. You know, if there's a hole in the floor, don't tell her her carpet's wonderful. But look at the pictures on the wall and say, Miss Johnson, look at all these pictures. Who are these good-looking folks? And she's going to say, those are my grandbabies. And Miss Johnson, you sure are blessed with all these grandbabies. And she's going to start to like me a little bit, right? I'm treating her like a person and not like a lead. If you're treating somebody like a lead, you're not going to get them to like you. You want to talk to them like a real person. With step one, your binder is shut, your iPad is off, your phone is in your pocket or in your purse, and you're focusing on that person. Something I like to always do is ask folks where they're from, and then I somehow find a way to connect myself with that region. No matter where it is, I'll say something. If I got nothing to say about it, I'll always say, Miss Johnson, I've always wanted to visit there. You know, could you tell me about some of your favorite spots in the state? Whatever it is, guys, but likability is where you get somebody to like you. This is step one, connect. Nobody does business with a stranger. And so one of the best ways you're going to connect with somebody at the very beginning is to talk about something you genuinely like. And I get it. Sometimes we have to fake it a little bit until we make it to step two. You know, we've all been there. Sometimes you can't even connect at step one, but you got to be aware of it and get that done throughout your presentation. But if you can talk about something you genuinely like, okay, your personal passion, the excitement in your eyes, okay, the excitement in your voice is going to be felt by the client. This is where Craig says sales is a transfer of energy. Sales is a transfer of emotion. I like to go work in the country because I know as soon as I walk in this dude's house and he's got deer heads on the wall and I just learned how to bow hunt from my buddy Dustin Helton, I can be like, oh my gosh, Mr. Johnson, where did you get this monster? And if you've ever asked an old hunter about one of his hunting stories, you know you're in with that guy. If I walk into Miss Johnson's house and I've noticed all of the pretty gardening up front, all the hard work she put into it, I'll say, Miss Johnson, you know, I sure am jealous of that green thumb you got. My brother got it. It wasn't given to me. But what kind of flowers do you have up there? Because I know my wife would love some of them. And so if you can find something that's somewhat genuine to connect on, you're going to be doing a lot better than if you're just walking in there, thinking about a sale, thinking about your commission, thinking about the carriers. Slow down, keep the binder shut, focus on the person you're talking to.
Guys, I hope you're listening this morning. I hope your cup is just running over with the great Alex Cromie. As we're talking about financial independence today, we started off the call with a litany of folks that are making a quarter million, half a million, upwards of we heard from two millionaires this morning that just were reporting what they've done through diligence, through dedication, but also through applying specifically what we have learned creates yeses. Now, I want everybody to listen to me because we're going to go a little bit different on this trust. When we say trust, yes, I want you showing your state licenses. Yes, I want you, everyone you've got right here. I'm looking at my book. I'm old school, but I still would show Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, North Carolina, South Florida, all of these states trust me. But watch. Where I want you to take trust, Alex, and you might have already, you know, planned on doing this, but you are one of the best at breaking down step five, call it policy delivery, the education. I call it discovery because I've been through a couple of lawsuits, right? But why do you think the client trusts you so much? Why do you think a client takes a recommendation? Because you've established so much of this up front that when you can break down the differences in what a term is versus a whole versus a UL, now when you make that educated decision, now when you'd say, you know, Mr. Alex, I'd never tell you what to do, but I'd tell you what I'd do if I were you. If you were my nana, this is what we would do. If you were my mama, this is what we would be doing. All I can do is educate you based on the knowledge that I bring to the table. Talk about the way trust plays in that arena.
Yeah, well, if you don't have trust built, you're not going to get to the policy review. And that kind of even goes back a little bit to likability. If they don't like you, they're not going to want you to look at their stuff. And so you've got to build that trust up. And like you're talking about through step four and five there, the transition to life insurance, getting into policy review, I'm an education sales-based person. Like, Craig, I know you're comedy. You're probably hilarious in these houses. But I make a few jokes when I can, but I can't make them quite like you. So I lean on the education. And so you know, when I'm going through the three types of people, and then I say, Miss Johnson, who do you have for your coverage? And then she picks a carrier, and I say, oh, fantastic. We do a lot of work with them. But what's more important than who you have is what you have. And this is where the separation from their carrier starts to come in a little bit. What's more important than who you have is what you have, because the policy's all, or the carrier's always great, but the policy they have is always underperforming. And then when you go the three types of life insurance, and this is so important, if you, they get you your policy before you've gone through the three types of life insurance, you set that to the side, because you're going to build a tremendous amount of trust by actually educating the client on term life, whole life, and universal life. And then when you open that policy up, they trust you because you've already made your claims. You've already made your statements about what these policies are. But for me, Craig, I build, probably like a lot of people, my trust up mostly in step two. And so I think step two, it kind of follows step one immediately, you know, going from step one, connect, where you're getting them to like you, to step two, trust, going over the BBB, the NASB page, flashing your state license. Guys, you get Volt done, the likability and trust, in the first few minutes of the sale. I mean, after step two, you should have likability and trust, at least a good portion of it already built up. And so I use step two in a big way. I mean, I lean on the NASB page and I say, Ms. Johnson, what it is we do, we distribute state-regulated benefits. We help folks with different kinds of insurance. We help people where Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security does not. And through a handful of state-regulated programs, Ms. Johnson, I'm licensed to save you money. And then I'm going to flip over to the BBB page and say, Ms. Johnson, you're sharp. You're a pretty sharp lady. I know you've probably heard of the Better Business before. And they always shake their heads. And I go, you know they're hard to impress. We've never had anything less than an A rating. That just means we do good work. We do honest work. We can't help everybody, but we do try our best, Ms. Johnson. And this fancy license I got around my neck, you can't go get this at the corner store anymore, Ms. Johnson. You got to get fingerprinted, background check, credit check, and you got to pass a few state exams in order to get licensed. Now, I do know a few folks that didn't pass, but Ms. Johnson, I passed first time, so you're in good hands. And so after doing that, I've humanized myself, and I've built up a lot of credibility. They like me. They trust me. And now I can go into step three, Craig, and like I've said here, when you're going into step three, you should have likability and trust already built up.
I love it. And there again, I think this is one of the reasons you have been so prolific and one of the better teachers that I've met on step five. And I know I'm going there a lot, but you win your sales. And there's a plethora of analogies that come to mind, but you're winning your sale because once you get to making a recommendation, you've already established that likability, that trust, that value, and you're building urgency throughout the entire presentation. Alex, I could listen to you for days, man. I'm so stinking thankful. I think it was Michigan, where one of the guys told me, and forgive me for not memorizing who this was. I'm not even going to try, but they said they just went back and listened to your psychology of the sale video over and over and over. Maybe it was Goychak. Just kept hearing the terminology, the verbiage, the language that you used. And guys, that's the way you raise up beasts in the business. Listen, you become that beast yourself. So that Xerox copy is so congruent. It is so close to who it is that you are. Away with this crap of I'm a six, but I'm going to develop an eight. No, you're not. No, you're not. Very rarely does that happen. You've got to become that nine, right? I'm telling you I'm right. You've got to become that nine and a half if you're going to pull somebody to that eight plus status. Alex, I know it's 10:03, 4th of July week, man. I just want to get your parting thoughts here on financial independence, on a word that you could give to this side of the house. They don't get to hear you all the time like I do. What would you say on this, let's say, Independence Day version of our stretch call, sir, to our listening audience?
Yeah, it's repeatability and duplicatability. What Josh Sherrill told me on day one was the people that make the most amount of money in this business are the people with the most repeatable, duplicatable sales systems. And so the verbiage, the steps, guys, you know, a lot of people on here could go out in charisma clothes. They could go out and cowboy it and sell off personality. But no one else is going to be a Craig Harvey. No one else is going to be a Nick Goychai. No one else is going to be a Blair Ohlendorf, right? But they have repeatable systems that they're putting into different types of personalities, different types of people that are universal across the board. So if you're not finding repeatable success as an agent, if you're not finding repeatable success as a manager, it's because you're not running a duplicatable system.
King Kong, I appreciate the time this morning, sir, and you coming on and speaking to the stretch. Guys, I know it is a holiday weekend. We're going to forego our rundown through our managers and get right out after it. Whatever you do tomorrow, be safe if you haven't already. I'm challenging you, $60,000 second half, $10,000 a month for 6 months. Look, there's a reason. I say it again. There's a reason Jefferson and Adams and Franklin signed something. I'm asking you to sign that 60K challenge. We're going to help you get there together. And so much of this vault philosophy and mentality is going to lead you to this 10K a month goal that hopefully you've set for yourself. Happy 4th of July and happy birthday to my third baby, NESB.